Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. We've had a tremendous week uniting the country in our fight against the China virus. I've reminded people of the importance of masks when you can't socially distance in particular. A strong message has been sent out to young people to stop going to crowded bars and other crowded places. Yesterday, we made the amazing announcement for our plans to protect nursing home residents. We're working very hard on that. We're doing very well all over the country. And also about contracting with Pfizer. We made a big, big, beautiful contract with Pfizer. We think they're very close, but we have a lot of companies that are very close to produce a vaccine. And I wanted to come out again today to share some additional news with you. This afternoon, my political team came to me and laid out our plans for the convention in Jacksonville, Florida. It's a place I love. I love that state. The drawings look absolutely beautiful. I never thought we could have something look so good so fast with everything going on. And everything was going well, a tremendous list of speakers. Thousands of people wanting to be there, and I mean, in some cases, desperately be there. They wanted to attend. People making travel arrangements all over the country, they wanted to be there. The pageantry, the signs, the excitement were really, really top of the line. But I looked at my team and I said, the timing for this event is not right, just not right with what's happened recently, the flare-up in Florida. To have a big convention is not the right time. It's really something that, for me, I have to protect the American people. That's what I've always done. That's what I always will do. That's what I'm about. They said, sir, we can make this work very easily. We have great enthusiasm, incredible enthusiasm. Even the polls say that's the most enthusiasm they've seen. We can do this safely and we can do it responsibly. And I said, there's nothing more important in our country than keeping our people safe, whether that's from the China virus or the radical left mob that you see in Portland, where I want to thank Homeland Security and others and law enforcement for doing a fantastic job over the last few days. They went in and people were out of control for 51 days, a long time. And Homeland Security and other law enforcement with us went in, and they've done a great job protecting our property, federal courthouse and other property, and most importantly, protecting our people. Or the senseless violence that you see in Chicago or New York or Detroit, a lot of other cities where so many people are shot and so many people are killed. And people elected me to help and to protect. So I told my team it's time to cancel the Jacksonville, Florida component of the GOP convention. We'll be starting in North Carolina for the Monday, as has always been planned. We were never taking that off. That's remaining as it is. The delegates are going to get together. That's where they do their nomination. So the delegates are going to North Carolina, and they'll be doing the nomination. And we're going to do some other things with tele-rallies and online the week that we're discussing, which will be really good. I think we're going to do it well. And I'll still do a convention speech in a different form, but we won't do a big, crowded convention per se. It's just not the right time for that. I care deeply about the people of Florida and everywhere else, frankly, in this country and even in the world, who would be coming into the state, and I don't want to do anything to upset it. They'll be doing very well very shortly. We're going to put some maps up of the country behind me, and you'll see that the area that we're talking about is a hot spot. You'll also see a lot of the country is has no problem whatsoever, most of the country, actually. So I'm always going to take care of you, so that's the way we're going to do it. I've spoken to Governor DeSantis and informed other political leaders. I want to thank the Jacksonville community and its great mayor. He's great, great guy, really great guy. They wanted it so badly. And all of the other political representatives in Jacksonville and in Florida. and just very special people, a very special group, and they were there for us 100%. Today I want to provide an update on the actions we're taking to support the safe reopening of America's schools. Parents around the world who have had their children home for the last few months have a greater appreciation for the fact that teachers are essential workers, that they're essential to our children's future. Our goal is to protect our teachers and students from the China virus while ensuring that families with high risk factors can continue to participate from home. Very important. The American Academy of Pediatrics has released guidance recommending that schools reopen. It said, quote, lengthy time away from school and associated interruption of supportive services often results in a social isolation, making it difficult for schools to identify and address important learning deficits, as well as child and adolescent physical and sexual abuse, substance abuse, depression, and suicidal ideation. This in turn places children and adolescents at considerable risk of morbidity and, in some cases, mortality. Beyond the educational impact and social impact of school closures, there's been a substantial impact on food security and physical activity for children and for families. So that's very important, and there's a highway, it goes both ways. The National Education Association recently stated, despite the momentous efforts of educators during the pandemic, online learning has never been an effective replacement for in-person learning and support. Being at the school, being on the campus is very, very important. One study estimates that due to school closures last spring, the average student will begin the school year roughly 35% behind in reading compared to the typical year and more than 50% behind in math. That's a big statement. According to McKinsey and Company, learning loss will probably be greatest among low-income Black and Hispanic students. They're the ones that are hit the hardest. We don't want that happening. 30 million American students rely on schools for free and reduced meals. Over 70% of the students who receive mental health services do so through their schools. According to HHS, one in five reports allegedly having to do with child abuse, they have neglect, and these are neglect and neglected cases are submitted by education personnel. So people in the education world on the premises will be the ones that report neglect and other problems when they see the children. They know if they've been neglected, they know if they've been hurt or harmed in any way, whether it's at home or someplace else, but they see this at school. You don't get to see that if you're not going to school. It's a big thing. Fortunately, the data shows that children are lower risk from the China virus, very substantially. When children do have only very mild symptoms or none at all, and medical complications are exceedingly rare, those that do face complications often have underlying medical conditions. 99% of all China virus hospitalizations are adults, and 99.96% of all fatalities are adults. That means that children are a tiny percentage, less than 1%, and even a small percentage of 1%. In a typical year, the flu results in more deaths of those under 18 in the United States than have been lost thus far to the coronavirus. Many different names, many, many different names. The life of every child is sacred and must be protected. Our sole focus is the health and well-being of America's children. I have a very, very special person who loves children, who's I think one of the greatest athletes of all time. A lot of people say the greatest pitcher of all time, known as a relief pitcher, could have been whatever he wanted. Some people, he is the greatest reliever of all time by far, substantially more saves than anybody else. In fact, he got the Presidential Medal of Freedom recently. And I'm reading off these stats. I knew he was the best. I knew he was great, but I didn't know it was almost double anybody else. But he's a man who loves children, has children, loves children, works hard with children. We're going to go outside and be with some little leaguers. Mariano Rivera, you know, he's the Sandman, right? My wife said, darling, why do they call him the Sandman? I said, you know, they play the song. He just puts the batters to sleep, and that's exactly what happened. So having Mariano here is a great honor. Thank you very much. I was talking about children in schools, and there's nobody that's done more than you have. Thank you very much, Mariano. Fantastic man. Given these considerations, we believe many school districts can now reopen safely, provided they implement mitigation measures and health protocols to protect families, protect teachers, and to protect students. So we do have to protect the teachers and the families also. We have to remember that all families should be empowered to make the decision that is right for their own circumstance. This is especially important if a child has underlying health conditions or lives with a parent or grandparent who is at higher risk. In cities or states that are current hotspots, and you'll see that in the map behind me, districts may need to delay reopening for a few weeks, and that's possible. That'll be up to governors. The decision should be made.
Good evening, everybody. Hope you're doing well. This is Prayers for 45. You're listening to President Trump, and we will start the call in a few minutes. Great to have you on board for the call tonight.
Children obviously have a very strong immune system, maybe even as strong as yours. They seem to be able to fight it off and not have a problem. So pretty amazing, actually. Great, great credit. Our strategy to safely reopen schools mirrors our approach nationwide. As we race toward the completion of a vaccine and therapeutics, the responsible path is to shelter those at highest risk while allowing those at lower risk, much lower in the case of young children, to resume work at school, and as long as everyone practices vigilant hygiene and social distancing. We want that. A permanent shutdown was never the strategy which would ultimately lead to greater mortality and irreversible harms. We don't want to do that. At the same time, we have to get our economy going. We had tremendous numbers.
Hang in there, folks. I'm going to let a few more people come in. There's only 12 of us, and there's usually 25. So let's give it another minute, and then we'll start the call. Thank you.
Number in history, real estate housing went up 21%. Today, the CDC will provide additional guidance for how schools can reopen safely. I hope that local leaders put the full health and well-being of their students first, and make the right decision for children, parents, teachers, and not make political decisions. This isn't about politics. It's about something very, very important. This is not about politics. I even think it's bad politics if you do the wrong decision. Very bad politics. We're asking Congress to provide $105 billion to schools as part of the next coronavirus relief bill. This funding will support mitigation measures such as smaller class sizes, more teachers and teacher aides, repurposing spaces to practice social distancing, and crucially, mask wearing. This money is in addition to the $30 billion we secured for schools and universities earlier this year. That money we have, some is distributed and some is not distributed. If schools do not reopen, the funding should go to parents to send their child to public, private, charter, religious, or home school of their choice. Keyword being choice. If the school is closed, the money should go.
Good evening, everybody. It is 6:01 p.m., and we are going to get started because of the little story I'll share with you. I'm a big believer in starting on time, even when you know there's somebody running late that you're waiting for. When I think I was probably 12 or 13, I had a co-ed birthday party at the roller rink, and I wanted to wait for everyone to show up to start eating the pizza or whatever the food was. If I recall, it was pizza. You know how these parties work. You eat, and then you do the activity at the facility, and this was roller skating. I figured if I was going to have a co-ed party, I would do something where I could try to move in on the little girl that, and at least hold her hand around the roller rink. So, Kimberly, you get it, right? You know what I was up to.
Sure.
So, so my dad said, no, we are not waiting. And he said it very sternly. I was raised by a United States Marine. And in the Marines, they teach you everything you do starts on time. Not a minute. Well, I did start at 6:01, and I do cut some slack for a minute, maybe 2 minutes. But the idea that my dad taught me was to respect the people that were there on time and to start the event at the time you say you're going to start it, and to show, as he used the word, there's no show no mercy for the people that are late. He said, when I was in the Marines, if somebody was late for their duty, it could cost someone their life. Think about that one. When you're in the military, if someone's late for what they're supposed to do, it can cost somebody their life. So thank you for being prompt, everybody. And I just thought I would share that story, why I'm so harped on starting on time. I guess it sticks with us what our parents teach us, and we do become our parents. I hope everybody's had a good week. I have not been in the best place in my life the last few weeks, and I appreciate all the great prayers and energy. I feel it, and I bathe in it, and I soak it all up, and I am on the mend, and I am happy to say about one more week of good rest, and I will be 100%. At least that's my plan. So
Amen.
Praise the Lord, and God bless you all. I just appreciate the prayers. I know you were praying together on the call, and it means a lot to me. I appreciate it. I am grateful for all the prayers, especially those of the groups that mean the most to me. And this group has a very sentimental value, if nothing else. It has a special place because we're doing something very special. There's not enough people committed to supporting President Trump actively. I do believe there'll be enough active voters in November to win by far. I'm not concerned about that. But, you know, we're going to have to start getting active in doing more for ourselves and our communities. The president has thrown us a lifeline. He is taking care of the big picture. He's draining the swamp on a federal level, on a global level. The plan is to defeat these absolutely most evil bunch of people that history, I mean, these people make Napoleon and even Hitler looks somewhat tame some days. I guess Hitler just wasn't as sophisticated, and he didn't have the same tools available, probably the same evil heart and the same evil mind. And, of course, we know he was controlled by the very people, by the very swamp creatures that lead the swamp. Those men that controlled Hitler is who our president is up against. And so we have to do more. And we have less time to do it in. And I believe the things we can do start with as simple as put your flag out between now and the election. That's a big thing. It's going to go viral. There's going to be a lot of community showing on the internet that they support this country. And if they have their flag out, probably 90% good guess, they're on our team. They're on the right side of the spiritual war. When you see someone flying an American flag, not always, but I'd say a good 90% of the time these days, because they are so conditioned, the left, that the flag does not represent something good, they won't hang it up in front of their home. So if someone has a flag up, doesn't mean they're going to vote for Trump, but I do believe it means they're on the right side of the spiritual war, and if they were given the facts, they would definitely vote for Trump if they had all the facts. There's a lot of people who still don't have all the facts. Kimberly, you are so good at getting the facts to people. I know you do it every day in a number of different ways. And that's the message tonight, folks, is to get the message out. Get the message out to people. that you know in your circle, it's uncomfortable, and you know at this point who you can talk to and who you can't. I don't say waste your time with a family or a member or a friend who you've already tried, and it's just you've come to an impasse. I know there's a lot of friends who have impasses with their family and friends. Fortunately, I only have a few. I've tried to leave the door open with everybody. I've tried not to come to impasses. It's hard. It's really hard. I've tried to be even keel about it and understanding about it and leave the door open so that when more information drips out, you can go back to people. And it's coming, drip, drip, drip. We all wish that the Patriots would do this quicker, faster, sooner, and get the show on the road. The show includes things like indictments and arrests, but they're not certainly the far from the big event. The big events are things like changing the currency and being able to restore our Constitution. That's the most important thing. But in order to do that, got a lot of steps to go through, and we're going to keep praying tonight because we're part of the spiritual war that's raging. Kimberly, I am going to turn it over to you to start our first prayer.
All right. Amen. Lord, we just come in your presence. We thank you for all of the things that Scotty has declared already. We stand in agreement with him. Lord, we know that you have said that life and death is in the tongue. And so we declare gratitude over continued healing over our nation, over Scotty, over our prayer warriors, over those who are listening and joining with us. Father, we thank you that you continue to bring healing. We look at the dry bones across our nation, and we declare them to rise up, even in the spirit. We speak to the church, and we ask, Lord, that you would cause the church to come away from their religious spirits, to come away from their legalism, and to rise up and receive the fresh anointing of your spirit, Lord, like oil, the oil of heaven that never runs dry. We ask, Lord, that you would freshly anoint your messengers, your people, to declare your word across this nation. Lord, we speak, we prophesy your word right now over our nation, over our president, over each other, over our families, over our homes, Lord, over our health. Lord, in every way we declare your words, let it be done as it is in heaven, on earth. Father, we think of what Jesus said as he was on the cross. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lord, we look at those that we scratch our heads and wonder, wow, do they even know what they're doing? And we ask, Lord, that you would give us a supernatural ability like Jesus had to look at the very people that put him on the cross, Lord, with love and compassion, knowing that he would be resurrected in 3 days. Lord, we ask, Father, that you would pour out that same anointing on each of us, even on our president tonight, that he would be able to look at all of those who are atrociously acting out and ask, Lord, that you would forgive them, that they would come into repentance. We declare repentance across our nation for all of the misbehaving, Father, whether it's outright misbehaving or hidden behind closed doors misbehaving. We ask, Lord, that you would bring forth your conviction by your spirit and convict hearts. Lord, we also, in declaring your mercy and your forgiveness and your restoration, we know that you are a just God, that you are a faithful God, and we continue to declare your justice upon our nation and upon our world. We declare, Lord, that you would allow those whose hearts have waxed cold, whose hearts are against you, to be judged. Let it be done as you have decreed in your word. Do it, Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that your word says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We stand on Zechariah chapter 4. Tonight, we thank you that your word is fresh anointing. We thank you that the Lion of Judah is roaring across our nation and across our cities and across our world. We thank you that you have not missed 1 minute of what's going on. We thank you that nothing is hidden from you, that your eyes search to and fro throughout all of the earth, looking for those whose hearts are yours. And Father, we come tonight because our hearts belong to you, thanking you that you see that nothing surprises you, and knowing that we can stand on your word when everything else is shifting sand, knowing that you are the cornerstone and our firm foundation, knowing that you are a shield, that you are our covering, that you are our safe harbor. We know, Lord, that you are the anchor of our souls, of our mind, our will, and our emotions. We know that you alone keep us sound when it's crazy. Father, I pray that you would continue to protect our president. We declare all of these things, Lord, tonight over our president's life. Father, I pray for joy. Let his joy bubble forth, Lord. Father, I pray that you would bring sweet fellowship between him and his family, his children, his sweet bride. Father, I pray that you would allow him to be refreshed and renewed in his spirit. We ask, Lord, that you would be that fresh oil by your spirit that would renew, that would speak and protect, Lord, over his life. Father, we thank you for all of the wise counsel that you continue to bring him. And we ask that you would set a hedge of protection against anything that is not motivated, approved by, or declared through your spirit. We declare an impenetrable force field, as it were, around our president and his ears and his mind. Father, protect him in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that you continue to bring about this reset. We thank you that we continue to see evidence of reset, even in the banks that we go to on a daily level, Father. Father, we thank you that you are continuously allowing us to be able to see from the watcher's position on the towers the evidence that the battle is yours and that you are going to declare victory. We thank you that the victory is yours. We thank you, Lord, that there are continuously signs of accountability coming in our judicial system. We thank you, Father, that there are continuously evidences of new judges. We thank you, Lord, that you are continuing to bring forth a declaration that life matters in our nation and that we will not stand by idly any longer. Father, I pray that you would begin to awaken every single person, Father, from their slumber, Lord. We break the bounds of mind control over all of the people of the United States, Father. We declare it right here, right now, in Jesus' name. And we ask, Lord, that they would begin to awaken from their slumber and wake up and go, what in the world is going on? Father, we declare that the wax that's been blocked in their ears would come off and the covers of blinders that are on their eyes, we strip them down, Father, and we ask, Lord, that you would give eyes to see and ears to hear like never before. Father, we thank you that you continue to meet us, Lord, in our prayers, and we know that we don't come in declaring because we deserve anything. We come in because you have invited us in, Lord. We come in knowing that we are empowered by your spirit, by your word, to speak and declare your word over the nations and over our president. Father, we thank you that you are the one who removes kings and queens and you raise up new ones. Lord, and even now, you are positioning the removal of kings and queens across our world. And you are divinely orchestrating the placement of new leaders and new rulers who will accomplish what you have called them to do. Father, we thank you that the deep state is under your foot and therefore under our feet, because your word says that where we tread, we can tread on serpents and scorpions and not be touched, and we declare that they are under our feet in Jesus' name. We thank you by the power of the name of Jesus and by your powerful might, not ours. Not our power. Not ours, Mike. But by your Spirit. Let it be done. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare all of these things. Amen.
Amen. Well, Kimberly, you are a very powerful intercessor. And I think some of you has rubbed off on me. And I'm going to tell you
Amen.
Why. I'm going to tell you why. I have a story to tell everybody why I think you've rubbed off. So I have not been into prayer all that long. I started meditating many years ago before I started praying. And I, those, anybody else on this call has been blessed to be, been through the program Transcendental Meditation. Transcendental Meditation, or TM, sounds, I think, kind of hippy-dippy, very granola. It's anything but. I went through the program many years ago. I was invited to actually Fairfield, Iowa, where it was brought to this country by an Indian man named Maharishi. The Maharishi, the very well-known Maharishi, settled in Fairfield, Iowa. I've told the story of there's still hundreds of Indian men who pray 8 hours a day in Sanskrit for the world, for wars to end. And they say they will continue until there's no more war. So I think President Trump's going to give them a break pretty soon. They've been praying for 20 years, no more than 20. Maharishi founded the Transcendental Meditation in Iowa, I think probably 40 years ago. Anyway, so I was into meditation before prayer. And I, you know, I love prayer, obviously, by virtue of this group. And starting this group, I believe in prayer. But yesterday, I crossed the barrier with prayer into some level I've never been before.
Wow.
I have prayed on my feet and sitting. I've never been down on my knees in prayer until yesterday. My daughter, over the weekend, due to some shenanigans with a friend that was staying over for the week from Seattle, there are shenanigans going in and out of the house overnight to talk and whatever the girls do. They were just being teenagers, little rascals, I called them. Our cat, one of our three cats got out. I had just given up one cat for adoption that I live with. I've been diagnosed with many cat allergies. During this leg infection I'm fighting, I have found out I have a lot of allergies that I need to address. One of them is cats. So I had to get rid of my cat that lives with me. 9/10 of a mile from me, my daughter and my best friend, the mother of my daughter, live with two cats. I consider them my own since I take care of them when they're in Mexico, which they are now. They just went back. So they lost one of their two cats, Muffin, who got escaped in the course of the evening when my daughter and her friend were going in and out of the house. And we're so excited to go get ice cream. They left the patio door open, and out Muffin went. Gone 3 days. And my daughter's mother, my daughter, and her friend Minna, they looked for this cat for the 3 days she was gone. They scoured the zip code. It's a big zip code, Mission Hills, San Diego, lots of people, lots of homes. It's home after home after home, thousands and thousands of homes. And they had looked for this cat, and my daughter had said to me, "Dad, if Muffin doesn't come back, I have to live with this the rest of my life. The bad decisions I made last night, the bad choices I made, I have to live with them the rest of my life. I understand why you and Mom always tell me there's consequences now." And I got down on my knees and prayed for Muffin to come home. I got down on my knees immediately. When my daughter said she had to live with this the rest of her life, that just was like a stab in my stomach, like someone took a knife and just stabbed me. Like, I don't need my daughter at age 13 to go to bed every night thinking, "Oh, my God, I lost my sweet little cat." This is the best cat in the world, by the way. I don't think they'll ever get rid of this cat, no matter my allergies or not. I'm just going to have to be careful when I'm taking care of the cat. But I went over to the house yesterday evening, and I said, "Skylar, come on." Whatever she was doing on her phone, put put your phone down. We're going to go look for the cat. This was after 30 minutes on my knees praying, by the way. And we went out and looked for the cat. And God took me right to that cat, right to that house, right to that deck, right to that little place she had been hiding for probably the past 2 days, because we know she hunkers down. She's been gone once before. And she,
wow.
She was under this deck in front of somebody's house, one block south and one block east, and I didn't make one wrong move. I went right to that house. God took me right to that cat. In five seconds, I left their house. We walked one block to the east and one block to the south, and I said, Skylar, keep calling her name. We both were saying her name. I said, she's going to speak to us any second, Skylar. I know it. I know she's here. And she started meowing. We heard her first meow. And I said, I knew it. I knew she was going to be over here. Keep talking to her. She's your cat. So Skylar was talking to her. She was meowing. I jumped a fence. I finally figured out where she was. I jumped the fence and ran to the back of this house, the front of the house to the back, and there she was hiding under a deck.
Wow,
little
Scotty.
Little porch deck. So, Kimberly, you have rubbed off your ability to pray and make things happen, which you've done. I believe your leadership of this, your prayer leadership of this group. I may be facilitating and hosting these calls, but I consider you our prayer leader. You are the one who does what we're here to do, pray, and along with our other great prayer leaders, and Christine is up next. So thank you, Kimberly. Thank you, thank you.
I just want to whisper something after that incredible story. You know, our Father in heaven, you know, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, also has called himself Abba, Father, which means Daddy God. And to hear the heart that you had for your daughter that caused you to cry out to our Father in heaven, who called all of the animals to the ark, right?
Wow.
You called that kitten home the same way our Father God called the animals to the ark. And it is so powerful when we invite our Heavenly Father into even the smallest, littlest, what might sound trite to others, details that are so big. That is the same Daddy God that says, why do you worry? If I care for the sparrows, how much more will I care for you? I mean, I love your story, and I'm so excited to have you share that with us, because I'm telling you, Scotty, we learn and we grow new every day.
Wasn't it interesting? The first time in my life that I go down to my knees and pray.
I love
it. First time. I've never been on my knees. I know people get on their knees and have kneeled beside their bed at bedtime for prayer for the ages. I know goes back thousands of years. My family, nobody kneeled in front of their bed for prayer morning, noon, or night in my family. My dad was a U.S. Marine, and he believed in God and country and all those things, but we were not on our knees praying as individuals or as a family. So I never learned that. I never understood it. But by being a part of this group, I really believe I've learned the power of prayer more than anything else that's taught me the power of prayer is this group. Hallelujah. Because you said something while you prayed that we see the evidence, that the evidence is there. My God, the evidence is everywhere. I got a call on Friday that somebody I trust more than anybody to tell me this. They said Trump's button is on the financial reset right now.
Yeah.
Like it's coming and it's coming soon, because his mind is on the reset. So, so we are so powerful as a group. What I can do, and by the way, my ex-wife thought, what in the hell on a Saturday evening did you come over here to look for the cat for? That's very nice of you. But goodness, we just spent the last 3 days looking. What do you think? You're going to go out in there and just knock her dead? And I said, Avery, I'm just here to help. And I didn't respond to her.
Yeah.
So all I said is, Avery, I'm here to help. I walked out that door with my daughter, and I said, start calling her name because we're going to find her right now.
Scotty, that is faith in action. It's one thing to read the Word of God, right? That's His voice to us, right? When we pray, we let Him know that we're reading His Word because we're praying His Word back to Him. We're declaring His Word back to Him. So it's like when you look at Skylar and you want to make sure that she's heard what you've instructed her to do, you often will just have her say, okay, tell me back what I just said, right? Our Daddy God does the same thing. So it's a relationship. But when you got up off of your knees after asking the Lord, you stepped out and took action. That's called faith in action. So you were moved to declare, you know, you trust in the Lord is what you did. You said, Lord, only you can bring this cat back, right, is what the prayer was, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was completely a place of powerlessness where you realize, hey, it's not because I deserve it, but have mercy on my child, right? And that mm-hmm. is the heart of our Father. That's the heart of our Daddy God. And if we would rightly understand the Father's heart and understand, you know, His incredible abundant love, and yet, you know, the way He waits to exhibit His justice, right? I mean, mm-hmm. He is the perfect Father God. I love your story. It is just so amazing to see, you know, what God will do when we just make ourselves available for His. I mean, can you imagine every single day what the Lord could do through you if you just stopped and just started every day just going, Lord, not my will, yours be done. Lord, let these hands be used for you. Yes, Lord, you know?
Well, Kimberly, all I could say is my daughter looked at me when she heard that meow, and she said, Daddy, you walked right to this house. How did you know?
Yep.
And I said, look up, honey. He knows. God knows. That's how I know, because God knows. I don't know anything.
She'll never forget that. Scotty, she'll
know.
You made spiritually into her little life last night over that precious kitty and the influence, the ripple effect, and the stories that will be told for the days and years to come is just awesome. And my encouragement for each of you out there on our call tonight is to be like Scotty and surrender to asking the Lord for even the little things, because I'm telling you, what we are praying and what we are reading in the Word and what we are declaring is being done on earth as it is in heaven, and it is really happening in locomotive, roaring fashion. It is very exciting what God is doing.
Well, Kimberly, you put your finger on the secret. You used one word, action, and I want to tell you, there's a movie called The Secret, and they missed the punchline. The movie The Secret was, I know the people who produced it, casted it, and they took all these highly successful young entrepreneur millionaires, put them on camera, and talked about what's the secret. Well, the secret was that we manifest, that what we think about, we manifest. But they never told you in The Secret, the movie, and I bet many of you have seen it or read the book. What they didn't tell you is that you have to follow up your manifesting thoughts with what, Kimberly? Action. So I now know that prayer is great. It's the foundation. And for without it, we don't have our respect for God. This is how we show respect for God in our prayers. And I got down on my knees and showed respect to God yesterday. And guess what He did for me? But when my daughter looked at me with the joy in her eyes and said, how did you know? And I said, because He knows. I do think it's a life lesson. And I do think it's incumbent that man follow every bit of faith with action, that we follow every bit of thought, positive thought of manifesting our lives with action. Action is what makes things happen. You took action tonight, every one of you, to pick up the phone and make this phone call. So you are taking action by being on this call and being part of this group. And I do thank you all again, every one of you on this call, for the prayers and for the support. And I do believe even to get to the health where I could go out and look for the cat last night.
Amen.
Just a couple days ago on our last call, which was, Thursday night, I couldn't make it to the phone. I was not in a place I could even get to the phone. I don't mean I didn't have a phone near me. My phone was right next to me. I didn't have the wherewithal to get on this call. And just a couple days later, I've got the energy and I've got everything going, and God is just great. He is leading us to get our country back, and that's the most important thing. And let me find Christine and bring her in so we can
I'm so excited to hear from Christine.
I didn't mean to take a lot of time, folks, but I thought that story of getting to my knees and praying was utterly important to share. Hi, Christine. Awesome. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. And, you know, it's so funny you're talking about The Secret, because I had a friend that worked on that film, and I went to that and, you know, kind of into it for a while. And here's the thing. I just talked about that with a friend of mine yesterday, about that The Secret has no action. And in fact, I will go on further, that The Secret and all of, you know, I was part of the Center for Spiritual Living and the Science of Mind and all that stuff, right? You know, they're all kind of cousins of Scientology. And what I have to say about all that is, like, it's spiritual terrorism, because it teaches you how to be completely broke. In fact, I will say this, that one time when I asked the pastor if I could have a workshop in there, around 2000, before 2008, to help people, you know, a free workshop to figure out, like, which way to go and how to help themselves and all that stuff, he said, well, you know, some people want to stay poor. And I'm telling you that there are a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing. And I think that the psyop of victimhood is alive and well. And we just got to be careful, because that stuff is deadly. And if it's not deadly immediately, it's a slow death. So don't get in it. Just do your action. Get with God. Kimberly is absolutely right. You know, you discover deeper and deeper the revelation of how it is that you are open to the light. In fact, today my show is called Aperture, to talk about how we open ourselves to the light. The light's always there. God's always there. God will never fail you. And I agree with you, Scotty. Kimberly is our prayer leader. She is the team captain, and I am just so pleased to be in the trenches with both of you. Let me say that.
Wow.
So I'm gonna. Yeah, and you're just such a godsend. You know, people think of angels as like, oh, fluffy and furry, and, you know, lovely, and it's like, yeah, okay, whatever. But you know, they're visceral. They've got big work to do, and you know, we're not easy cats to herd, by the way. You know, going along with the story today, so I'm very grateful for you, Kimberly, and I'm grateful for you, Scotty. You both have just really, really put a dent and a scratch in that big, huge matrix that's there. So I'm just so pleased. So I'm going to move to prayer. And we just come before you, God, and we thank you so much, Lord, for your continuing, just never giving up on us, never giving up on your creation. You never could. And we know that these things that are out there, this crazy Chaz thing that's not too far from me, and people going nuts and all this stuff, it's really, your children are very spoiled right now, some of them. And what we see is that they don't know that they're hurting themselves, most of them. And they don't know. They're so conditioned, and they're so in the matrix and so under the spell, that once they start to wake up, once this wears off a little and they start realizing that it's either they're going to fall off the conveyor belt into the grave, or they could do something to change how their life goes, we're going to be right there. We're going to be right there, God, because we know that that's what you do for us, and that's what we're going to do for those who are wanting to be healed, Lord, just like when Jesus was talking to the man who'd been there by the water for 38 years, that, you know, if you know, all of the 38 years of excuses came out, And those are, you know, those people aren't ready yet, and we know that. So when the divine timing is there, you will send us everyone that we need to assist as they move into their aperture, opening up to you, God, you, Lord, because we know that that is right there for them and us all, at all times. So no matter what it looks like out there, no matter what we see going on in the world, we know that that is not the truth, and we know that that is not evidence of your greatness and of your kingship and Jesus Christ, your kingship and your sovereignty. We know that we reflect back the personal sovereignty that you gave us, that you made us out of, and there is nothing but that. And so everything else is a shadow, and we know that once the light goes to the shadow, whether it's in a tiny aperture like a laser or whether it's in a large aperture like a SET, we know that for sure that we are here to refract, reflect, and to become that which is the being that we are, which will eventually lead to us not being able to contain that, and our bodies will fall away as we return home to you. Dear God, we know that we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to the planet and became the answer for all of our prayers. And Jesus, we know that you are our comfort. We know through this prayer process, through these great prayer leaders, and through this time that we spend together, that this fortifies us with real nutrition, with real spiritual nutrition, that we don't have to go through the additives and the weird stuff that's out there that doesn't mean anything. You throw water on it, it becomes nothing. And I do invite it to go back to the nothingness that it went from whence it came, because that's all it is. We know that you are the real nutrition. You are our source. And everything else is a resource. And everything else is provided for us because we know that if we could put on the complete suit of armor that you have provided for us. And as Kimberly likes to say, and I love what she says about the Bible being the basic instruction book or basic instructions before leaving Earth, these are all ways in which we are provided for. And the reason that the world right now, God, we know that they're insatiable is because they're not eating the right thing spiritually. They're not feeding upon that which you've provided or slaking their thirst on something that is actually real life water. So we don't have to be jealous or even look over into that bowl or that pen that they're in. We just have to be aware, awake, get our spiritual immune systems in order, our physical immune systems in order, and be ready, because there's going to be an awakening like this planet has never seen. And the people that are waking up, it's not going to be easy, but we'll be ready. We'll be ready, Lord. That is our promise. That is our oath, that we will be ready. We pray and we thank you for all these things. We pray and we thank you for all of these divine moments that we have through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Christine. Thank you. Thank you. Kimberly, before I get to our closing gratitude prayer, is there anything you want to talk about?
No, I think we've nailed it.
All right. And Christine, anything you'd like to add before we close?
No, I just think that's great that you were talking about the secret, because at this time in history, it is not time to go into your brain like some kind of weird, you know, theater in there and not do anything, because then you're just in the goo of
no.
The matrix. This is the time to be active and be ready and be on par, on point. So I'm just thankful and I'm really glad that you found the cat, because, man, that's evidence right there. God gave that right to you and your daughter.
You know, all I needed to hear was my daughter say, "Dad, I'm going to have to live with this the rest of my life." And she's only 13. And I know how sensitive of a person she is, too. She's honest to God, God's little creature. She's got the sweetest, most sensitive little heart. And I know she was just hurting inside that her cat got out and it was her fault. And she was taking the fall on the sword for it as stepping up and being a big enough person, falling on the sword and admitting fault. And saying, you know, what can I do except look for her now? And they were going back to Mexico today. Her mother spends more time there than here. She's a food blogger. She can come and go as she pleases. Her business is online. So, yeah, this is just like a lesson about God. This whole week, my illness, finding the cat. And I'm still stunned myself that I left that house with my daughter and walked directly to that cat. Just how powerful is God? Just how powerful is he, really and truly? A man drops to his knees and prays for the first time in his life on his knees for 30 minutes and then, like, literally walks right to a cat that was gone 3 days and could have been, literally, could have been anywhere in a, you know, couple of square miles, easily in a couple of square miles. She's swift, she's fast, she's crafty. We know she could last for weeks. She did it once before. In Mexico on the street, she lasted for a couple of weeks. So we knew she was resilient, but that wasn't good enough for my daughter. She was of the mindset that she was going to suffer the rest of her life. And all I asked God was to, please don't let my daughter suffer. Please, let me find this cat because I don't want her to suffer. And I just did it for 30 minutes in a quiet way, alone. Nobody knows I did it. I didn't tell anyone but this group tonight that I dropped to my knees and pray. I did tell her mother. She said, what? She couldn't believe it. When we came home 5 minutes later with the cat in hand, she's like, what happened? I said, I prayed to God for 30 minutes. Amen. That's all. That's what happened. So, boy, will I be on my knees again soon? Yeah, you bet.
Woo! Hallelujah.
You bet I will. I know now how to pray. Thank you, God. All right, let's get our gratitude prayer done because
you,
we have to give back. Thank you, Kimberly. And thank you all again. I am very grateful for your prayers for my health. It is working. I am about a week away from being back to who I really want to be. Dear Lord, we're grateful you will heal the sick and infected. We're grateful you heal and help sustain bodies and spirits. We're grateful you take care of the vulnerable. God, protect our elderly and those suffering from chronic disease. Provide for the poor, especially the uninsured. God, we're grateful you will give power and wisdom to young adults and children, for they are strong. God, we're grateful you'll inspire them to want to help others. God, we're grateful you'll help us take back our local, state, and federal governments and return them to what they do right. God, we are grateful and give you gratitude. You're helping the president and the patriots allocate the necessary resources and strategy for defeating the old guard establishment, evil cabal. God, we're grateful for the alternative media, the honest journalists committed to providing us real truth in reporting. God, please, we're grateful if you will help them to communicate with the appropriate seriousness without causing any panic in this country. God, we're so grateful you heard our prayers tonight. We're grateful for the prayer leaders, Kimberly and Christine. We're grateful for all of our prayer leaders, Betty and Diane and Pastor Joseph and Daniel and Ingrid. We're grateful for all the prayer warriors that joined us on our call tonight. And once again, we're 23 people at the height of this call. We have a few that dropped off, but the same folks, we're grateful for you coming back every Sunday and Thursday. Lord, let our roots grow down into you. Let our lives be built around you. Our faith will grow strong in the truth and will overflow with thankfulness. Thankfulness for our president, his agenda, and for our ultimate sovereignty that binds us in our ability to come together in prayer. We will not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. When we live in the power of God, we get stronger and all of our fears disappear, and we find cats. We're so grateful for everything you've given us, Lord. Thank you so much for the loved ones in our lives and for the many ways in which all of us on this call are cared for and supported. We thank you from the bottom of our heart. We're so grateful. Amen. And thank you,
Amen.
Everybody. We will see you back here Thursday. Have a great Sunday night. Hang up the phone. Give someone a big hug. And God bless you all. God bless America. God bless President Trump. Good night.
Amen. Good night.
Good night.